Yeah.
Praise the Lord. February 14th, indeed.
It's my brother's birthday.
Your brother's birthday today, huh?
Yeah, he turned 42.
Well, it was 14 below zero at my house last night.
13 kids.
I reckon about 20 below at Dave's.
It was so
I'm not counting the wind chill either.
It was so windy last night. It was
so yeah, they issued a severe wind chill alert, the Weather Channel. For our area, 35 below was the wind chill.
It was -6.
And it's still howling out there pretty good, but it's up to 8 below. The sun came out and it's up to 8 below.
That's cool.
Air temp. Mary Ann.
I just want to thank the good Lord because he kept us nice and warm.
Yeah.
Well, at least we
nice.
Have a place to sleep and
oh.
Live.
Yeah, I'll tell you,
stomach. What more can you ask?
That's oh,
right.
I know.
That's right. So
yeah.
Think that way instead of the negative.
Thank you, Lord. Oh boy, we got a roof over our heads and heat and food.
And you got a wife that loves you. And you got a daughter that loves you.
We're blessed.
And everyone over here loves you.
We're blessed.
What can you ask? What about the weather?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got a church full of people that love us.
Yes.
All right, people, let's grab our hymnals. We'll stand for our final hymn this morning and open up to 126. I am so glad that there's a fountain opened for sin that we may wash in and be made whole and clean. There is a fountain. 126, we'll sing the first, third, and fourth as we stand and worship again. William Cowper, the great hymn writer. Piano sounds good. To the Lord.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Of the dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin. By faith I saw the stream, my blowing wounds abide. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. And shall be till I die.
Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Oh, yes, that fountain opened by the Lord Jesus. Oh, how blessed we are, how privileged we are to be able to come freely to that holy fount. Well, praise the Lord, folks. So let's open up to the Gospel of John this morning. My favorite gospel, of course. John chapter 1. For our Sunday morning sermon, little boy came home. Name was Andy. Came home from Sunday school and he told his mom that they learned a new song that morning at church. He said it was all about him. His mother asked him to sing it. So he began, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, Andy tells me I am his own. And the joy, all about Andy. Oh, yes, indeed. Out of the mouths of babes. Well, folks, as we come to John chapter 1 again, I want you to stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6. And a few weeks back, I preached a message on the first 5 verses, so we're kind of picking it up from there. But we read here in verse number 6. Now, how many of you know today is Valentine's Day, right? And I'm not going to preach on Valentine's Day, but you know, if you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, or if you're married, you have a Valentine. You have a sweetheart, right? And the reason you do is because there came a point in your life where you met, the Lord brought you together, and you received each other. Amen? As either a boyfriend and girlfriend or as husband and wife. But you received each other. I want to talk to you this morning on reasons for receiving Him. Amen?
Amen?
Reasons for receiving Him. Look with me in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's Baptist, not the apostle. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Of God. I want to call your attention to verse 12. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for these incredible reasons for receiving him. And Lord, the Bible is so full of divine reasons for receiving Jesus Christ. Lord, there are too many to count. And Lord, this morning, there's a whole bunch of people in this world that need to receive Jesus Christ before it's too late. Lord, my prayer this morning is that through this message, your Holy Spirit would reach out to every single soul that hears it, that needs Jesus Christ in regeneration, and that they would personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a result. And Father, we just ask you to bless your word this morning in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 Please be seated, church. Now, as you recall, a few weeks ago, we preached on the life and light of men from verses 1 through 5. And immediately, the Word of God begins giving us reasons for receiving Jesus Christ. That is this life and light of men. And great emphasis is here laid upon the Him whom we are to receive. That is the Son of God. And in these few verses, beloved, we may, by careful observation, identify some eternally important reasons for receiving him. Stennett wrote, "Thou wouldst like wretched man be made in everything but sin, that we like thee might become as we unlike have been." Tennant was simply saying, we need to receive him in order to become like him. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? Listen, I want to give you a few reasons for receiving him this morning. First of all, we need to receive him because he desires that all men everywhere would receive him. Amen? That's a good reason. Because God desires that all men would receive him by believing. Look at verse 6. We read, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that, what's the next word? All men might believe. Look at it. might, through him, might believe. Now, God's desire this morning is that all people, black and white, yellow, red, and purple, doesn't matter. He wants them all to come and believe on his son. That's why he sent them. Isn't that a good reason to receive him? Because God, our maker, wants us to? Oh, beloved, listen carefully. The blessed Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. What's the next word? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He invites and desires for all men, all people, all boys and girls to come to his bleeding side for salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you know that all in the Greek means all? It's not rocket science. It means all. And when the Bible says all, it means what it says. Now, the Lord told John out in the wilderness to bear witness of that light because he wants all people from all nations to believe. He wants them all to believe. Aren't you glad that our Savior isn't prejudiced? Aren't you glad that our Savior isn't fussy on who comes? He wants them all to come. And it just takes one step, the step of faith. That's all it takes to come to him. Go to John chapter 7. Hold your place. We're coming back. In John chapter 7, watch what Jesus says. And in John chapter 7, and of course, this is the Feast of Passover, and look what he says in John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that what? Believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus says, I want you all, whosoever thirsteth, to come to me. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, will flow through you unto others, and you will, but all you have to do, verse 38, is believe on me. Believe on me. That's all. Why? Because God the Father desires that all people would believe on his Son and receive him. I'm so glad that your economic background doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. The only thing that matters is that you come and believe on him. From the Good News broadcaster, someone asked Emily Post, what is the correct procedure when one is invited to the White House in Washington, D.C. for dinner, but has a previous engagement? She answered, and I quote, an invitation to dine at the White House is a command and automatically cancels any other engagement. But oh, how many people in the world today refuse to accept the heavenly invitation to come and dine at the house of the King of Kings? The invitation is out there. Come on, feast with me in spiritual things. I'll receive you if you'll receive me. But oh, how they refuse. They got a better plan. They got some better idea, they think. And they refused to come. But his desire is that they would. Listen now. The first reason I see for receiving him is because his heart's desire is that all men might believe on him. That every single soul that he created would accept his gospel invitation. Though they won't. It's his heart's desire. All 7 billion people on planet Earth he wants to save. Oh, beloved. I see another reason for receiving him, though. Secondly, we must receive him because he is the true light. Amen? Go back to chapter 1. John chapter 1. We must receive him because he alone is the true light. Look with me at verse 8. He was not that light, John Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Notice the capital L. That's a title of a person. Amen? That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, beloved, listen carefully. The Bible just said that you have the light of life. You're breathing and living and walking today
because Jesus Christ lit your spiritual candle when you were conceived. He gave you life, is what he's saying in verse 9. He lit your soul. He gave you a living soul. Now, what does John mean by saying that he, Jesus Christ, is that true light? Listen carefully. There are many, many belief systems in the world today that claim to be the true and claim to give spiritual light, which Paul labels as doctrines of devils and damnable heresies. They're not true lights. They're false lights. But him who is eternally perfect, with all perfection of eternity, he is the true light, the true vine, the true bread, and the truth embodied. And to receive him is to receive the light of life, the true light. Amen? You receive Jesus Christ, you receive the true light. You receive, listen to me, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive everlasting light, capital L. An everlasting light can't go out. Amen? It's eternal. Now, that's what he is. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. In him, Jesus, was life. And the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Notice, this light is shining brightly today. But the darkness of man's sin will not receive it. Why? They're blinded by a darkness, a veil upon their spiritual eyes. They can't see the light. Now, have you received this light? Chapter 9. Look in John chapter 9 for a moment. There was a man born blind. Jesus opens his eyes. Amen. Look at it. In John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now let me make a statement. This man in John chapter 9 could not see Jesus, but Jesus could see him. Amen? Jesus had his eyes on him, though he couldn't see Jesus. Jesus has his eyes on you, whether you see him or not. Look at it. Verse 5. And Jesus says to him, as long as I am in the world, I am the what? Light of the world. I am the light of the world. Beloved, listen to me. There's no other message for you. There's no other light for you. There's no other way of being saved and making heaven your home. Except one, Jesus Christ, the true light. There is no other Savior. Listen, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am one of the seven great I ams. I am the light of the world. The world's largest printing press, the Watchtower in New York City, is owned and operated by the Jehovah Witnesses. They have one press that puts out 500 pieces of propaganda per second. From that one press alone comes out 84 million books and pamphlets per year. But that's a false light. That's a false light. The Watchtower, it's a false light. It will put you in hell like a bullet. I want to point you to the true light. I want to point you to the one that can save you from sin, that can give you eternal life in heaven above. The Hindus teach reincarnation. That is, that one may die and be born again and again and again, improving one's position for all eternity until they reach a point of nirvana. The next time around, but listen, that's a false light, Shirley MacLaine. There is no such thing as reincarnation. Martin Luther wrote about a 14th century bishop named Tetzel. You ever read about Tetzel? The priest claimed, I have saved more souls by my indulgences than the apostle Peter did by his preaching. Really? Whatever crime one may commit, even blasphemy against our Holy Mother Mary, will be pardoned upon full payment of one of my palpably sanctioned indulgences. But Tetzel was a false light. Tetzel couldn't save a dead dog. Tetzel was a false light. Listen, Marjorie Thornton has made hundreds of trips to Salt Lake City, Utah, to be baptized for the dead. Over the years, she has been baptized over 30,000 times. For the deceased. A Mormon elder recently claimed that Ms. Thornton, through baptism, has saved more souls than Jesus Christ. But that's a false light. You need the true light. You need the one who... Look at it in verse number... look at chapter 1 again. Look at verse number 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Notice the word that. That's a one and only. He is the one and only light of God to bring a soul to heaven. I'm so thankful that he can. Why? Because he's the true light. It's a good reason for receiving him. But I see another reason for receiving him. And that is because he's still in the world. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, speaking of that true light, he was in the world. See that? He was in the world. He came down from heaven. He became one of us. Now, he was born of a virgin long ago. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. Verse 14 says, he dwelt amongst us and we beheld his glory. 1 John 4:2 says that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that God became a man. I'm so glad this morning that he came to this world and he's still in this world. He still has his arms stretched out wide to whosoever will come unto him. He's still in the soul-saving business. The trumpet hasn't blown yet. Folks, listen to me. He's still in the world today. He's still reaching out to fallen man today. He's still saving souls today on planet Earth. That's because he is omnipresent. You can't contain him. Amen? Listen, he's everywhere simultaneously. The devil can't do that, by the way. Only Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17. Hold your place and turn ahead to Acts chapter 17. I'm so glad that he is in this world in the soul-saving business. And he does a fine job of it for all those who will receive him. Look with me in Acts chapter 17. Don't miss this. Paul is at Athens, a city that was full of idols, false gods, false lights. And watch what Paul tells them. In chapter 17 of Acts, look at me at verse 24, 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God, that made the world and all things therein. What's his name, church? Who made all things? Jesus Christ. We saw it in John chapter 1. Look at it. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's not far from every one of us. Why? He's still in the world. Look at verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets said, we are all his offspring. You know why you're breathing? Because God has you in his hand. And it's giving you breath after breath. Oh, beloved, I am so thankful this morning that he's still in the world, not far from every one of us. He's right by your side. Oh, he's so good this morning. I'm so thankful that you can't hide from Jesus Christ. H.M. Fields was speaking years ago at the Parliament of Religion in England, and he affirmed the following, I quote, "It has been my good fortune to travel in many lands throughout the world, and I have not been in any area so dark but that I have found some rays of divine light, some proofs that indeed God has been there." You know what Field was saying? He's saying that God is everywhere in the world. You can see his footprints wherever you go. He's still in the world today because he's a Trinity. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's still in the world. And he's in you and you and you and you who know him. Aren't you glad this morning he hasn't abandoned us? The Sunday school teacher asked the class, why is there but one God? An 8-year-old girl answered, it's because God fills every place and there's no room for another one. She's right on. God fills every place and there's no room for any other God. Woo! Out of an 8-year-old, amen? That's wisdom. He's still in the world today, still saving souls today, but I see another reason for receiving him. Reason number 4, because he made the world. Go back to our text in John chapter 1. Here's a great reason for receiving him, because he made everything that exists. Look at me in verse 10. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Beloved, here is a very good reason for receiving him. Because only he who made the world can remake a human soul. Amen? His creative power, listen, his creative power was manifested while he was on the earth by his miraculous works and miracles, such as feeding thousands of people with just a few loaves and stilling the tempest and the storm and the raging waves by just a word. All this was done to show that only Jesus has the ability to fix our broken lives. He proved it. Amen? He proved it by his miracles that he is able to take care of any problem in my life because he's my maker. Look at verse number 3. John 1 verse 3. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In case you didn't get it the first time. He made everything, including you, and you, and you, and you. You know what that means? Listen to me. The manufacturer knows his work better than anyone. Why? Because he made it. Ask Brother Dennis, what are you going to do with a Swiss watch when it breaks down? You got to take it to the Swiss watchmaker, right? You got to take it to its manufacturer who knows what makes it tick. Listen, beloved, one time my printer broke down. You ever had that problem? Your printer breaks down? I tried and tried, called everybody, tried to fix, couldn't get it fixed. Ended up, I had to send it back to the manufacturer, Hewlett Packard. And it took about a month, they sent it back, and it worked great. You know why? I sent it to the one who made it. When you break down, you've got to go to the one who made you so he can remake you and fix you. Are you listening? Only the manufacturer can repair our broken lives. Here's a good reason for receiving him. Because he made you, he knows what is best for you and for me. Great reason to receive him. He knows how to repair anything amiss in our lives. Isn't that good? Only Jesus knows that. But I see another reason for receiving him. Quickly, reason number 5 for receiving him is because he was and is still rejected by this world. Look with me at verse 10 again. He was and still is rejected by this world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Beloved, listen carefully to me here. For the most part, the world today still rejects the Lord Jesus. Job described it this way, the world's attitude toward this blessed Redeemer, Job 21:14. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Folks, that is the attitude of the majority of this world in which we live. What good is Jesus going to do me anyway? Why do I need him? Hey, I got a better plan. No, no. Listen, they reject him. Still, sadly, that's the way most of this world feels about the Son of God. Isaiah 53. Hold your place again and go back to Isaiah. The prophet wrote about this man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In Isaiah 53, one of the greatest prophecies of Messiah in the entire Bible. Watch what it says about him. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, here's the question. Who hath believed our report? Now we know from New Testament references that report is the gospel. And to whom is the arm of the Lord? Who's the arm of the Lord? Jesus Christ, revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, and what? Rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah the prophet says that when this Messiah comes, the world's attitude towards him will be one of rejection. Beloved, it hasn't changed in 2,000 years, because the majority of this world to this day rejects him. You are in the minority. I'm so glad that you're in God's house this morning and you receive Jesus Christ. You don't reject him, because you are in the minority. You know what, folks? I once said, I was preaching and I said, you know, it wouldn't matter if the entire world forsook Jesus Christ, because one plus Jesus is a majority anytime. Amen? Listen, you plus Jesus are a majority. Don't worry about the world's rejection of him. You receive him. You love him. You adore him. Now, for the most part, he's rejected. They eagerly receive his daily bounties. Listen, they gladly eat his food that he makes. They have no problem drinking his water that he provides. They love spending the money that he enables them to make, but they reject him personally. They say, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We got some better plan. How would you feel if you told your spouse every day, I love you, I love you, I love you, but he or she never spoke back to you, never acknowledged you, never reciprocated that love back? That's exactly how most people treat the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. And they're saying, couldn't be bothered. Don't need him. That's exactly how they treat him. And every day he sends the rain, he sends them food, he sends them water, he sends them blessings, he sends them health, and they reject him. I don't love you. I don't want you. Beloved, he knows what it's like to be rejected and despised. They reject him personally. Now, here's a good reason for receiving him. Because so many people reject him and push him away. Amen? I want to be one of those few that says, Lord Jesus, I love you. I receive you. And I want the world to know that I love him with all my heart and soul. Amen? God! Yeah, that commercial for the Marines. You know, Uncle Sam is looking for a few good men. Well, God is looking for a few good men and women that will love his son and stand up for him in these last days, against a lost and dying world that rejects him. But I see one more reason that I want you to see this morning for receiving him. And this is good news indeed. Listen carefully. Reason number 6. We must receive him because he alone has the power and authority to regenerate the soul. Amen? Here's the greatest reason for receiving him of all. Because he alone has the authority and the power to regenerate the soul of man. Look at verse 12. John 1, back to our text, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Why were they born of God? Verse 12. As many as received him. All you have to do to become a child of God forever is receive his son, Jesus Christ. He's made it so simple, it boggles my mind. It's so easy to become saved. It's so easy to become a son or a daughter of God by simply receiving Jesus Christ. Listen carefully, beloved. Here's the good news. That Jesus Christ alone has the power and ability to regenerate, to recreate the soul of man. There are two things I want to give you in closing this morning concerning his ability to save the soul. First, that he alone has the authority to do it. Look with me at verse 12. but as many as received him. Who is the him? Jesus Christ. To them gave who? He. Who's the he? Jesus Christ. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Folks, listen to me. Jesus Christ is the only person in eternity that has the authority delegated from God the Father to give eternal life to whoever will receive him. Listen, as many as will receive him, to them gives he the power, that is the right, to become God's children. Listen carefully. This right or prerogative is his alone. No church privilege can give anyone this right. Church can't do it. The spirit of adoption is the gift of God's Son. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the gift of salvation that comes through regeneration by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other plan. There's no other method of becoming a child of God except through Jesus Christ, whom the Father had sent. Go with me to chapter 5. John chapter 5, I want you to see that he alone has the authority to regenerate a human soul. In John 5, look with me at verse 21. Words in red. Jesus says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," that means makes them alive spiritually, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Why? "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You know what Jesus just said? Jesus said, "I have the authority to save your soul if you'll come to me. I have the delegated authority from heaven to give you eternal life." Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 17, quickly. I just thought of another one. In John chapter 17. Look here. In John 17, verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Time to go to the cross. Pay for the sins of the world. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he," Jesus Christ, "should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Look at it. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Jesus says here that God has given him authority to grant eternal life to as many as will receive him. Wow! That's quite a book. That's quite a Savior, amen? I'm so thankful this morning that this is the greatest reason of all for receiving him, because he has the divine authority to save the human soul from sin. But something else. Listen, there's two things I want you to see in closing concerning his ability to save. First, he alone has the authority to save your soul. But secondly, he alone has the power to save your soul. You know what it takes to save you from the devil? Save you from hell? Save you from your sin? It takes power. It takes divine power that you and I don't have. Somebody does, though. Look with me in verse 13. Chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of who?
Of God.
God. God. You, listen to me. Every one of you have human parents, a mother and a father, whether they're still alive or not. Every one of you were born to them. Your parents. And Jesus says here in verse 13 that I can make you born literally of my Father. That you literally become his child by birth. Did you hear what I said? Listen carefully. To become a son or daughter of God requires regeneration by the Spirit of Christ. Now watch what he says. Verse 13. Which were born. Now, when you're born, listen to me, every one of you, except the president, has a birth certificate. I couldn't resist, sorry. Every one of you has a birth certificate, a record of your birth. Amen? Just the same way, every one of you has a record of your spiritual birth. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, watch what he says. Which were born not of blood. That means it's not a natural physical birth. Then he says, nor of the will of the flesh. That means it can't be produced by human works. Then he says, nor of the will of man. That is, it's not the scheme of our own intellect. We can't devise a way of doing it. See that? But of God, which were born of God. Take out the commas and you've got, you were born of God. Now, only the Son of God has the power to produce this miraculous regeneration in man's soul. And should not this compel us to receive him with open arms? Folks, listen to me. If Hare Krishna had the ability to do that, I'd go to him. If Muhammad had the ability to do that, if he was the only one, I'd go to him. But they can't. Nobody but Jesus has the power to do this. So I go to him. Amen? You got to go to the one who is able to do what you want. He's the one. He's the only one. Now, that's because God the Father has given him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as will receive him. In our text today, John reveals three steps to heaven. One, he shows the need for apprehension of the glory of Jesus Christ. You've got to understand who he is. Two, he shows the need for believing on his name and receiving him. There must be a personal reception. Three, he shows the need for divine power to effect this transformation. You see, it's not something the pastor can do. It's not something the baptistry tank can do. It's not something church membership can do. It takes a person named Jesus Christ. And these are reasons for receiving him, beloved. Oh, I'm so thankful this morning that you still can. In closing, let me give you this. Spurgeon said, and I quote, "It is the empty cup placed under the flowing stream that gets filled up. It is the penniless hand held out for the heavenly alms that is made rich." He's saying we must reach out to him in order to receive him. Amen? Listen, an English nobleman once gave a struggling actress a Bible, telling her that there was a treasure to be found in it. She, thinking he meant religion, laid the Bible aside and never opened it. She died penniless, and all she had was sold to pay her debts. The old man that bought her Bible opened up to John chapter 1, finding $100,000 cash.
Wow.
True story. Listen, tucked inside. "Poor creature," he exclaimed. "Had she only read the book, she might not only have found the money, but received the pearl of great price, Jesus Christ." He was a true believer. But how many today refuse to open the heavenly book and claim the treasures that it offers? Oh, beloved, you must receive Jesus Christ and him alone to save your soul. He's the pearl of great price. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's everything in between. He's everything to me. And how many today refuse and reject him in his offer of love and salvation? Beloved, I could give you 1,000 more reasons for receiving him. But as John would say, time would fail me. Time would fail me. So love him. Adore him. Obey him. Trust him. And above all, receive him. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for these reasons for receiving him. Lord, I can't think of any good reasons for receiving anybody else in the universe but Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you have so divinely designed it that all men should receive the Son of God and honor him as God. Lord, we thank you that you've made that clear in John's gospel. And my prayer this morning, O God, in Jesus Christ's name, is that those listening to my voice on this message, whether it be by the website or Facebook or LinkedIn or the YouTube site or Twitter, however they're listening, if they are not saved, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that they would receive Jesus Christ now before it's too late. Oh, Lord, I'm so thankful that it's so simple. All you've got to do is pray a simple prayer like this. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I now receive you as my Savior from sin. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for washing me in your blood. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul from my sins. I now receive you. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Amen. Beloved, let's sing one in closing. We'll have a time of invitation. And the altar will be open if you need it. I'm so thankful that I can see everyone here this morning has received him. That's a beautiful thing. But you may need to pray for somebody who needs to receive him this morning. The altar is open. At 2:31, we'll go to 2:31 this morning for our closing hymn. Oh, how we need Jesus every hour. First, third, and fourth we'll sing. Is open. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can ease afford. Folks are still at the altar praying, and in an attitude of prayer, Father, how we thank you this morning for the reasons for receiving him, Jesus Christ. And Lord, how I thank you for that final point. The biggest reason of all for receiving him is because he alone has the power and authority to save the human soul from sin. How we thank you, Lord, that you're still saving souls. And Father, I pray that I might get letters and notes from all over the world this week of folks receiving Jesus Christ And Lord, we just thank you for the preached word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would quicken it, would bless it, would empower it to reach the vast multitudes who need Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you that those of us who've already received him, we understand that we need him every minute of every hour of our lives. Lord, for without you, we can do nothing. But how we thank you, Lord, for this church. How we thank you for the families of this church. And how we thank you for the unconditional love we hold for one another. And Lord, that's the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by his Holy Spirit given unto us. We thank you for that. And we, Lord, we pray that that love of God would flow through this congregation, that many would be drawn to it, drawn to Jesus Christ, the one who loves us supremely. We thank you for it today and all you're going to do through this message. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Tonight at 6 o'clock, if you're able, we'll be back in our series.